Hi, this is Bedros Kilian calling in from Chino Hills, California. And if you know me, then you know that I'm from theartofsellingfitness.com. My job in the industry is to help personal trainers maximize their sales and marketing skills. And on the phone with me, I have a very special treat. I've got 2006 Personal Trainer of the Year, NSCA's Personal Trainer of the Year, Michael Sorrell from Michael Sorrell Fitness. And he's put together a very compelling book entitled How to Generate Maximum Medical Referrals. This is specifically for the personal training industry. Mike, I wanted to, first of all, say, wow, this book is amazing, and two, congratulate you for your 2006 award. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for having me. It was a great honor, and I truly respect the NSCA, and I truly devote my time into bettering myself and also my clients' lives, and it was a great honor of winning that award, and I'm just moving forward with my personal training business and my fitness career business.
Well, now, Mike, in addition to your 2006 award from NSCA, I've got to mention that you're also the finalist for ACE Personal Trainer of the Year, weren't you?
Yes, I am. This is the second year that I applied for it. Actually, both awards, this was the second year, and a week apart, I found out that I won the NSCA, and I was awarded with that, so I was very, very static, to be honest with you. And 3 or 4 days later, I get a call from ACE saying that I'm one of the finalists, and it was very tough to adjust to that because I was still kind of at a high with the NSCA. And within a day, I had to have a phone interview with ACE, and it went really well. I learned a lot about myself, a lot about the organization. And luckily, I was a finalist, and I'm going to really do my best to win it next year.
That's fantastic. I mean, what an amazing thing, huh? Most personal trainers would hope that, you know, they just get the opportunity to be a finalist for one organization or the other. And here you were, you won one, and then within a week, you got a call stating that you're the finalist for another from ACE, right?
Yes. It was very, very... I was static. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I wasn't surprised because I knew that it was a special year for me. I did a lot in terms of continued education, doing a lot of businesses, improving my community from writing newsletters and doing a lot of volunteer work and doing free lectures for the community. But it was a great honor with ACE, but at the same time, it really just motivates me to do even better for everybody around me, the community, my trainers, myself, to try to win it next year. So in a sense, it was a blessing in disguise that I didn't win. I know that sounds funny, but it motivates me even more, and this is one of the reasons why I've spoken to you about helping me improve my business and marketing skills, and this is one of the reasons why I'm here. And I just can't wait to do a lot of learn a lot from you, and also so I can apply it into my business and for the community and for my clients.
Well, Mike, I'll tell you what, man. I've known you for coming on just over 3 years now.
Yes.
And it's a funny thing because just for the listeners of this interview to know more about you. I mean, you haven't been a personal trainer for all that long, have you? I mean, under what, 6-7 years?
Yes, I started when I was a junior in college, and that was very, very, it wasn't even one-on-one personal training. I was working at a fitness center at school at Cal State Northridge, and I believe, to be honest with you, I was making like $6 an hour working 10 hours a week, and I was just a fitness advisor where I would walk around at the fitness facility there and give people advices if they needed it and spot people. And so it was very informal, but at the same time, I took my job very seriously and I knew that's what I wanted to do. And after I finished school, which was my undergrad, which was 99, I really got involved in, that's when I really started doing one-on-one training. I worked at a small facility for a really good gentleman, and that was at Northridge. And while I was in school, for graduate school, I was also a one-on-one personal trainer, and I worked at the school doing, I was a graduate TA in our department, and I was also a corporate fitness specialist for a Washington Mutual Fitness Center.
Wow.
It was their regional center. And so all this time, I was doing many different things, but that's really, I think those 2 years in graduate school, while I was doing all the other things related to fitness, that's really where I've taken a lot of my skills and abilities to where I am today, so I can apply it in my career right now. And so that was very advantageous for me, being involved in many, many different facets of fitness, not just the one-on-one training, but also, like I mentioned, the corporate fitness, the teaching at a university level, college students, fitness classes, doing lectures in front of them, and at the same time getting my formal education going with a graduate degree in exercise physiology. So I was really, really busy those 2 years, but at the same time, once I finished, I wanted to go out in the world and really apply what I've learned, and that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just moving forward, and winning the NSCA award was just the first step for me, to be honest with you. And then the ACE, hopefully I will do my best to win that next year, and maybe IDEA, and I'm going to be the only trainer who's going to win all three awards over their lifetime. No trainer has ever won all three, and that's really my goal.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, Mike, I've got a list of, I hope you have some time here, because I really have a list of 3 pages of questions that I extracted from your book, because it opened my eyes, man. And to know that, now the listeners probably don't know this, but you really generate $16,000 a month out of a, 820-square-foot facility there in Whittier, right?
Yes, I started my business November 2004, and the first couple of months, I was already generating about $5,000 for myself. I was working at a private studio as an independent trainer prior to that for 6 months, and within those 6 months before I opened my studio, I was already involved in the community, doing free seminars for medical facilities, really just trying to get involved as much as I can within the community. And as soon as I got involved with a medical facility, which is Bright Medical here in Whittier, I got in contact with the director of the facility from one of my clients who actually was a patient or was involved in the class that they offer at Bright Medical. And I asked him one day, hey, I know you mentioned to me you have diabetes. He was like our first consultation. And he told me about his diabetes, and I said, well, are you doing any type of education courses to try to teach you how to eat properly with diabetes and to learn more about the disease? And then as soon as he told me that he was involved in Bright, with Bright Medical, in one of the classes, the first question I asked the guy was, do they have an exercise fitness seminar in that facility? And he wasn't sure, and so I told him, get me a contact name and number, and if you do get this name and contact number, I'm going to give you a couple of free sessions just to do this favor for me. And
that's great bribery right there, and I bet it worked, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Within 12 hours, he called me. He actually, after our session, he actually drove to Bright Medical and got the contact name and number, and he told the director that his personal trainer was interested in talking to her about possibly doing a class. And so I pretty much kind of taught him how to talk to the director, the potential contact. And so as soon as I got the number, I gave the lady a call, and within 2 days, I had an appointment with her, and that's when I knew, hey, this is my big break. As soon as I find an avenue within that medical facility, I know I could help with those people. I know I could help that department. And so within 2 days, I created a press kit that included my resume, testimonials from my clients, past letters, or journals that I've written, articles that I've written for magazines, newsletter articles, and then my services that I offered to my clients and for the community. And so I brought all that into this meeting in a nice folder. I wore a nice polo shirt, very professional, and within an hour's time, I spoke to the director, and she was very impressed with me, and she told me that she was going to get back to me within 2 days. But the next day, she called me. She said, you know what, I'll be more than happy to include you in one of our lecture classes. It's not a promise that it's going to be a foregoing thing, but I'm going to give you this one try to do the class. And I had a month to prepare, and within that month, I really put all the skills and abilities I had that I've learned in school, my practical skills, everything that I've learned from professors, friends, mentors, and I put it all together within that for that class seminar. And 2 years later, I'm still here doing seminars every month, and we are in a 800 square foot facility, and we are generating $16,000 a month. And we are on our way of generating close to $200,000 for the next for the year 2006. So I'm very excited. And you know, to be honest with you, Bedros, it's really, yes, the money is great. I love that. But at the same time, it gives. I believe that as soon as I'm generating this revenue, I'm going to be able to touch more lives, and that's really what I'm here for. I want to be able to help people, and it's very difficult to be able to do free lectures and seminars if I need to train 10 hours a week or 10 hours a day to be able to pay my rent money, my bills, and so forth. And so I know that generating really good income for my studio and for myself, that's going to be able to help me change more lives. Because I'm going to be able to help more people.
Sure. Now, Mike, you said a lot of important things, and the press kit that you mentioned earlier that you just kind of graced over, we're going to go get back to on page 2 here of my notes that I have and questions for you. But you touched on something very important. You touched on the fact that, you know, you had a client who had diabetes, and it turns out that he was going to Bright Medical Center, and he was taking classes there. Was that right?
Yes.
He was taking.
He just actually started.
Okay. He was taking classes there, and you had the wherewithal to ask him the million-dollar question, which was, hey, get me the contact information of the director of the place so that I can find out if they have some kind of exercise-based workshop, seminar, educational process. Now, here's the interesting thing. I know that 65% of your referrals come from the medical industry, either doctors or the newsletter that you write for the medical building or the actual workshops you run. 65% of your referrals come from there. However, you know, a trainer looking to get their referrals from doctors and medical from the medical industry as a whole, why is it important for this trainer, first and foremost, to get into a medical building and talk to the education director and to offer some kind of a workshop? What's so important about that?
Well, from my experience, I truly believe that that is the best avenue to get into a medical facility, because it is highly unlikely, from my experience, talking to other trainers and from myself, for my experience, you cannot just go to a medical doctor during office hours and he or she seeing patients. You can't just go up to him or her and say, hey, I want to train your patients. I've heard people do that, and it sounds very convincing. No matter how professional you are, no matter how ready you are with a press kit of some type to talk to this doctor, he or she will not be able to listen to you 100%, because during work hours, they're very busy with their patients, and so it's very similar. I use it as if I'm training a client and the phone rings or something like that, I'm not going to answer the phone because I might be spotting my client, and who knows, if I answer the phone, there's a dumbbell on her head or her right. toe. So it's very unlikely that they will do that for you and talk to you right then. So in my opinion and from my experience, going through the medical education department, that is the best avenue, because I know that every medical facility will need some type of exercise program. Exercise is so important in everyday life in the medical community as well. Everybody knows they need to exercise, but they need more fitness professionals that are qualified to be able to teach these people. Health educators, registered dietitians, their whole basis of their they didn't go to kinesiology classes. They maybe a couple, but they don't have the educational background and also the practical skills to be able to teach the normal person, the normal public, about fitness and exercise. And so if you go through an avenue of going to the education department, getting in contact with the director or coordinator of that department, and using your skills and be able to convince them, hey, I'm here to help the community. I'm here to help the patients here at the education department. The way it works is doctors refer their patients to the education department to learn more about topics such as diabetes, weight management, stress, cholesterol control, things of that nature. And so these doctors really want their patients to be educated about these topics. So of course they want them to be educated about exercise. And so that is the best way to get into the medical community, get in with the education department, and you might have to put in a little bit of time with them. I didn't have a chance to get in contact with a doctor until maybe a month or 6 weeks after my first seminar. I wanted to get in there and really show the education director that I knew what I was doing. I was very qualified to be able to do this seminar. And as soon as she was very impressed with me, then words just got around. Everybody started talking about my class. And from there, I started hinting to the director, hey, you know what? Maybe you should start telling the doctors around here about my class and about my background. And as soon as that happened, she said, you know what? I'm going to do that next week during our board meeting. And so, as soon as she said that...
I'm sorry to interrupt. You just kind of said something that this light bulb went off over my head. What you really did, and I know you knew this when you were doing it because you alluded to it in your book, but you positioned yourself in a lower barrier of entry. In other words, it would be difficult to walk up, almost like a cold call, to go up to the doctor and say, look, I'm a personal trainer. Here's my degree. Here's my background. Refer your patients to me, and I'll give them the tender, loving care that they need as it relates to fitness and exercise. However, the fact that you went to the actual, to the director of that, education director of that facility, there was a lower barrier of entry. You didn't have to talk to a doctor, number one, and he didn't have to give you a patient. Instead, the actual education director allowed you to get in front of a group to prove yourself and to build credibility, which then that knowledge or that information translates or transfers down to the doctors in that building. And like you said, you know, at the next board meeting, she mentioned your name, didn't she?
Yes, and as soon as she, once she gave me that opportunity, and again, I, in your words, I bribed her, and that's what I did. I said, you know what, you mentioned to some of the doctors about my program and about me as your trainer, I will give you a couple of free sessions to train with me. And she said, you know what, you got a deal. And as soon as, I think the very next day, I gave her a free session, knowing that she hasn't met with the board of directors yet, but I was willing to take my time and give her that opportunity for her to give me the opportunity.
Sure.
So it
now,
was
what
both
was your
ways.
Reason? What was your reason for giving her that free session, too, before she met with the directors?
Mainly to show her what I can do as a personal trainer, how I motivate people, how I can instruct people on how to do exercises. I was very technical with her, knowing that she had back problems. And so I really, it was a very educational session for me to her. I really wanted to educate her about not just the exercises, but the importance of good posture, make sure that you have you have good support in your shoes, things of that nature, that she had no idea what was wrong, why her back was always bothering her. Now, I totally assumed, and she told me that she's seen an orthopedic surgeon, and it was just one of those things that she just had back problems, and there was no nerve damage, there was no muscular damage, no bone damage. It was just she was always sore, and so I really tried to educate her on some of the things that I know could cause that, and so from that was the main reason was if she knew that I was very talented and very caring in what I was doing, her motivation to talk to the doctors would be a lot more.
Sure. Now, that's amazing. Essentially, what you did, and this is for all the listeners who will hear this, in case the curtain wasn't pulled back far enough for you to see what Michael just did there, he made a walking, talking testimonial out of the educational director of the medical facility that these doctors look up to and refer their patients to. So once she becomes a walking, talking testimonial for Michael, it's a no-brainer. And she'll tell the doctors, and the doctors will naturally start referring patients. Now, having said that, Mike, you also mentioned something about writing a newsletter for the medical building as well. Tell me about that and what the purpose of that newsletter was.
Well, from my experience in school and working at corporate fitness and things of that nature, I was always made aware of newsletters for communities, for the community, for every corporate facility that has some type of wellness program. They're always going to have some type of newsletter. And so I assumed to ask the director, hey, I know you guys have, do you have some kind of newsletter here that you provide for your community and for your patients and for your doctors? He's like, yes, we do. It's every 2 or 3 months we have one or two different types. We have a children or pediatric newsletter, and we also have newsletters that go out to about 5,000 to 6,000 community patients, and we also have newsletters that go out to doctors as well. And so once I found that out, I proposed to her, hey, I would like to write an article for you. So give me a topic that you would like me to write about, and I will have something for you within 2 or 3 days. And so she brought up the topic of older adult fitness, how a majority of the medical facility, they do work with a lot of the older population, geriatric population, and so I wrote an article about the importance of strength training with older population, and I had it in her hand a day after she told me. I stayed up all night writing about it. I did some research on some statistical numbers on, I believe by the year 2030, there's going to be about 25 billion or million people in this country that's going to be over 65 and over. And so little things like that, that I had to do some research on the internet to get some viable and numbers for the article. And as soon as she read that, she was very excited, and then that's where it all started. So at least a couple of times a month or every couple of months, I always write articles for the newsletter or for the community. And I write it mainly to educate people. I don't write anything there about come to my studio, give you a free session of some type. I don't write any of that. It's very educational and very professional, and because that's exactly what she wants. And so from there, doctors, the registered dietitians, and some of the health educators, they would read the article, and they would personally email me or call me and ask me questions about it. And so, of course, I would answer them back. I would answer them back email or phone, or a couple of times, one of the doctors who was a she's actually one of the leading experts here at Bright of older population health. And so she's proposed to me within the last 6 months that she's going to try to create a older adult fitness class specifically for Bright patients that she wants me to head up. And so, I mean, opportunities like that just came from writing articles for the medical community. I mean, it's very simple. To be honest with you, it doesn't take too much time. Approximately, I would say 3 to 4 hours of really good research and hard thinking and just applying what I know about it, and it's created wonders of opportunities for me.
Certainly, and you know, I've got to say, I mean, 3, 4, even 5 or 6 hours is a pittance compared to the results and the reward you'll get from that, because on the marketing end of things, a newsletter, educational newsletter like you talked about, there does one thing. It gets people to know you, like you, and trust you. That includes patients and the medical staff, doctors, nurses, and so on. Hence, the other benefit to that is, of course, it keeps your name and your message in front of them through that newsletter. So while you're donating your time to write this, you're getting so much more in return, aren't you, just from keeping your message in front of these people?
Yes. I mean, basically, I love educating people about health and fitness and exercise. And I'm sure that you can hear this over the lines. I'm very motivated. I'm very determined to help as many people as I can. And this is just one avenue for me to be able to help people. And me training a person one-on-one or a buddy program, that's two people that I'm helping change their lives for the better. But when I write these newsletters, it goes out to 5,000 to 7,000 people every month. And I'm sure that those people give the article to their friends. I mean, before you know it, who knows? I mean, I might be touching 20,000 lives within a month time just from writing one article that took me 5 or 6 hours.
Sure, absolutely. And Mike, is it safe to say, and tell me if I'm putting words in your mouth here, but is it safe to say that every city, town, community, even county across the United States has several medical buildings similar to the one you're in today, or at least hospitals that can serve the same purpose of getting your foot in the door?
I have no doubt. Exactly. I mean, within a 3-mile radius where I'm at, which is Whittier, California, there are two medical facilities that I'm currently working with. One, I'm really doing a lot of seminars and newsletter writings and things of that nature, and a majority of my time is being devoted with that medical community because that's where my studio is as well. But just a mile and a half away, there's Presbyterian Hospital that I do seminars for and that I write newsletters for, and I've gotten plenty of clients from a couple of the doctors there, and I know that there are many, many other health educators and medical doctors there, but I'll get to them. It's just a matter of time. But to answer your question one more time, there are plenty of medical facilities in every city, so there should be no reason why fitness professionals should not be in those medical facilities. I mean, it's a must, because not just for the revenue, but also to educate these people, because believe me when I say this, a lot of those health educators and registered dietitians, they don't know much about exercise. Not because they're not educated or nothing like that. It's just that's not their field. That's like me talking about what a registered dietitian would talk about to a class.
Sure.
Yes, I know a little bit about nutrition and basic guidelines of the food guide pyramid of that nature, but when it comes to the intricacies of how to prepare foods, how many calories each food have, what it does to the glycemic index, things of that nature, I can probably find out, yes, but I don't have the hands-on practical skills to be able to teach that to a class. But we do with fitness and exercise. There could be no reason why we don't go out there and help these medical communities change more lives.
Makes sense. Now, you mentioned doctors. Let's change gears for a minute here, Michael, and talk about doctors. You state right there in your book that, you know, not every single doctor is going to refer to you. And I've experienced that in my time as a personal trainer, and many of my consulting clients have. Tell me why this is.
Before I started working with medical doctors, I had a chance to train some of them. My previous job, my first job as a personal trainer, which was at Northridge, California, when I was in school, luckily, the studio that I was working out of, the person that owned it, had a lot of medical doctors as clients. And so I really got involved in knowing how they were thinking, their types of personalities, and just how the medical community is. So that really gave me an opportunity to learn more about a doctor. It doesn't mean that I knew how every single one of them would be, but so when I got to owning my own business and started trying to get referrals from the medical doctors, yes, not all of them will refer their patients, and I'm sure some of that is because of some type of liability reasons of some type, and also some of them just don't care, to be honest with you. I mean, that's really who they are. I see plenty of doctors in this medical community where I have my studio who are out of shape, not healthy, and so if they don't do it themselves, how are they going to refer their patients? And so, but I look at it as, hey, you know what? I'm going to focus on the ones that actually do care for their patients and are referring me patients, and so I keep a constant connection with them, whether it's just dropping a quick note, saying hello, how you doing, your client, Mrs. Jones, is doing really well, she's improving her strength, things of that nature. And I just focus on the ones that really do care.
Sure. Now as a personal trainer, you know, looking to get referrals, fine. I understand that, you know what, not every doctor is going to care, not every doctor is going to trust us, personal trainers. And in fact, not every doctor lives the lifestyle of health and fitness, so why would they value it to refer people to us? But those doctors that would refer, well, what can a personal trainer do to improve their chances with a doctor?
Well, in the book, I mentioned that the first thing you need to do as a fitness professional is improve yourself, you. You're the product, so you need to improve the product the best that you can, whether you're 18 years old, just getting out of high school and really thinking about becoming a fitness professional, or when you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s, anytime you want to get started working as a personal trainer or exercise physiologist or some type of fitness professional, you really got to develop your own skills. And I touched that in my book about getting the formal education, getting the practical skills necessary to be able to apply what you're learning, and just getting help sometimes. Having mentors like yourself to teach me and other trainers out there about the art of fitness, marketing skills of that nature. All those things come together when you're dealing with medical doctors, because to be honest with you, some of these doctors, I had a doctor told me one time, well, why should I refer my patient to you?
Sure.
Yes, you have your education. Yes, you have your master's. Yes, you're certified by the top 2 patients. What else? What else can you offer my patient? I said, you know what? As a friend. I mean, bottom line, I'm going to be a friend to them. I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to care for them. And I gave that example. I'm going to care for them as much as how you care for your patient. And that really touched him. You know, he really said, you know what? Okay. And to be honest with you, 2 days later, his wife becomes my client. She came into the studio and said, oh, my husband is Dr. So-and-so. And then I'm thinking to myself, you know what? That's the owner of the medical facility. He's the board in charge.
Wow.
And she told me, you know what? He spoke to you a couple days ago, and you know he was really impressed by you, and he feels like you can help me with my back problem. And that was close to 2 years ago when we first opened, and just the last 6 months, she's playing 18 hole of golf with the husband at Hawaii.
Huh. Clearly she has no more back problems, or at least not to the point where it's debilitating.
Exactly. And he is one of the top doctors that refer me patients, his patients, because for the simple fact that his wife could can have a 6 hour sleep without any type of stoppage because her back is bothering her. She can enjoy time with him, and she can enjoy time with her. And so, and again, it goes back to having those opportunities to work with a client and make a difference in their life. And so, if I didn't prove to that doctor at that specific time when I told him that I can be a friend to your patients and I'm going to take care of them as much as you can, he probably never have given or told his wife to come to my studio. Who knows? But at the same time, I knew that, yes, the formal education, yes, the certifications, those help a lot because I know from experience, too, that some doctors really look for that. So if you're a fitness professional out there, those are one of the main things that you really need to develop, you, the fitness professional, you, the product. And as soon as that happens, then you can create opportunities for yourself to be able to apply what you learn.
Makes sense. Now, Michael, on page 24, I mean, talk about specifics. I really went through your book here, man, with fine-tooth comb. It was amazing to me. On page 24, you talk about approaching the doctor and, you know, better yet, approaching the staff. Now, explain why, how to approach a doctor, why you suggest approaching the staff, and what's the whole idea behind there?
Well, the staff, the office staff is the first thing you're going to see when you walk into a medical facility or medical office. You're not going to see the doctor because he or she is in the back helping a patient, doing some paperwork. So you cannot just go back there unless you're a patient yourself. And even then, you see the medical staff first. So you don't go straight directly to the doctor. And so I've found that the best way to approach, one of the best ways to approach a doctor is through the staff, because those are the first people you're going to see. So if you're nice to them, you're professional to them, you introduce yourself, and you let them know that you're a personal trainer, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be very, they're going to be kind of excited too, because a lot of people need trainers, and or they need some type of way to get in shape. I've never spoken to any medical facility staff that has never asked me a fitness question of some type. So they're very, there's a lot of questions there as well. So if you answer their questions, you take 5 or 10 minutes of your time answering their questions, whatever it may be, and just to give you an opportunity to present yourself to them and for them to remember you. And so when you come back with a press kit or with a business card of some type, that person will really go out of their way to give it to that doctor that you want that press kit for. I guarantee it. I mean, it works for me. Every person that I see as a staff member in the office, they know my name, and I know majority of their names. I look at their name tag, and I say their name, and that is one of the best ways to approach that, because from that position, as soon as you hand them a press kit, if you're not professional, if you're not nice, if they don't remember you, there are tons of folders laying around the medical office, tons. Sure. Next time you go, I mean, you see hundreds of them. So if you don't stand out as a person, he or she will not give that press kit to that doctor.
So
I know it.
In other words, what you're really saying here, and this is very important for everyone to take note, in fact, I'm writing with a red pen on my notes here just so it'll stand out more, but what you're essentially saying is the front office of a doctor's office, the front office staff, is really the gatekeepers, and if you can get on their good side, if you can get them to like you, they'll pass this press kit along to the doctor, which will then obviously take us to the next level. Of course, before we go to that next level, I want you to really tell me what's in the press kit that the staff will pass along to the doctor. What's so important about it? I know you give detailed examples of your press kit, in fact, so that other trainers can make them. Make them for themselves in your book, but tell me here on the call, what's in this press kit?
Well, there's two different types of press kits. One is for the education department director, and I'll go over that in a second. But for the doctor specifically, it's going to be a little bit more formal and a little bit more informative because it just requires it, in my opinion. So what you should have in there is obviously a resume of your current job duties and certifications and education and things like that. Contact name and, of course, emails of some type. But also a letter stating why he or she should refer their patients to you. Just very briefly about giving them the background on what a personal trainer can do for their patients, what type of programs you can offer their patients, and what you can do for the patient. I mean, that's pretty much it. And you explain that to them in that letter. Very detailed. What I included in mine was how I would do a fitness evaluation, measuring their body fat, and from there, I can get it. I will have a referral sheet that's included in the press kit as well about their own input on what I should be careful with their patients and so forth. So it's almost like it's teamwork. So I'm just not going in there saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to help your patient and they don't need you anymore. No, I go in there saying, hey, we're going to work as a team. Here are all the medical, health and medical questionnaires that I provide for my clients. Here are all the release of liabilities. Here are all the informed consents. That's all included in the press kit. So it gives them a viable kit saying, hey, you know what? This fitness professional will be able to help my patient, but at the same time, he's got all the legalities and liability forms where it's not going to come back to me potentially when if somehow, some way that my patient gets hurt. I'm going to be covered.
Sure.
So
and that's reassuring for a doctor, right?
Exactly. That's very reassuring. So in that press kit, you must have all the legalities, all the informed consents, like I mentioned earlier, the release of liabilities. And one of the pros of obviously being a trainer is you get involved with a lot of different types of professions. So I had one of my attorney clients just look it over and just make sure that it would hold in a court of law, and of course that attorney okayed it. But of course you can always modify it. What's in the ebook is my own release of liabilities, and you can always include more information in there. But I would suggest to have some type of lawyer or an attorney look over it just to make sure. But if I'm a doctor, and here comes a health professional, a fitness professional, with a press kit, yes, he or she has the background, has the education, has the practical skills, got the certification, he's in good shape, he looks good, or she looks good. But if there's no health and medical questionnaires or no informed consent, he could come back to me. And so I've heard that from a doctor myself, that as soon as he saw all my release forms and my health medical questionnaire, he really knew that I really did want to find out everything I could about from the client, and I was getting his input too. So it wasn't just my information for myself, but also what he thought, how I could help his patient.
Absolutely.
So it was a teamwork.
That makes total sense. And of course, in your book here, you've got a complete sample press kit that they can use, correct, that everybody listening here and purchasing your product can use?
Yes, definitely. Everything's in there, and you would just modify it according to what where you're from and so forth. But a majority of the information and documents in there are in the press kit. You could use that off the bat already.
Sure. Now, I know we're pressed for time here. We've got about 10, 15 minutes, but I've got more questions, so just bear with me, Mike.
No problem.
How do you suggest one follows up with a doctor? So I met with the staff. I feel I work my charm, and the staff loves me. I give them the press kit to pass along to the doctor. How long do I wait? How do I follow up? What's next?
Well, as soon as you do that, then you have to come back the next day and ask that staff member if he or she gave that press kit to the physician. to the medical doctor. And as soon and whatever, and most likely if you're likable and he or she likes you and you're professional, of course they're going to give that press kit. But sometimes they are really busy, so you don't want to hound them as well. So one time I gave it to one of the office member, and she said that, oh, I haven't had a chance. It's right here, and he was sitting right next to her, and she said, I will definitely give this press kit to the doctor today. And so I said, that's fine. And but at the same time, I had the office members give it to him that same day. And so what you're going to do next as a fitness professional is go back the next day and make sure that they gave the press kit. And as soon as that happens, give it a couple more days before you make your next move. Because, like I said, doctors are busy, and so they might just have, honestly, 5 minutes to look over your press kit. So they might not have time. So as soon as they find time, I'm sure if it looks professional, and I mentioned that in the ebook about having it in a nice binder, having the letter right in the front page stating why you're doing this for their patients and so forth. Once they get an opportunity to look at that, to be honest with you, they might not call you or email you. Okay, so you might have to make that first move. And in the book, I mentioned that the best thing to do is get the phone number from the staff member, from the office staff member, and get the number of the physician and their extension number and call them during off hours. So find out from the staff when that doctor is off, because during the week, doctors usually have office hours where they see patients, and then they have off hours where they're out doing seeing patients at hospitals or doing paperwork of some type. So they're going to have some off hours. And so in my opinion and from my experience, that is the best time to call them and leave them a message on their answer machine. That's really it. Just very briefly stating your name, your intentions, what you can do for their patients, and you let them know that it would be a great opportunity for me to work with one of your patients, and I thank you for your time and consideration. This is Michael Sorrell. Take care. I mean, very brief letter, and I stated a couple of scenarios in the book about what type of message you should leave for the medical doctor. And I'm a firm believer that the best time to call them is when they're not there. Because when they are there and they answer the phone, you're going to feel like, okay, you got to try to talk yourself in explaining to them in under 15 seconds. So you're going to end up babbling, and that doctor is going to be in a hurry because he or she might have a patient in a minute or two, things like that. And so you don't want all those scenarios. The best thing to do is be able to know exactly what you're going to say. Write it down if you have to before you leave them the message. And as soon as you leave them the message, make it brief, make it professional. Make sure you say, thank you for your time and consideration. Take care. Dr. Jones, I really appreciate it. Bye-bye. As soon as you do that, then it's almost a waiting game. It's almost a waiting game. And so I mentioned in the book that there are about 50 doctors in this facility, and between 6 to 8 doctors are very, very motivated in referring me their patients. And so it's going to take some time before they come around, to be honest with you.
Sure. Well, Michael, I'll tell you, there's two more questions left, too, and you kind of touched on one right now. So say the doctor contacts you. You know, you leave your message on the off-peak hours. He gets the message. He's not rushed anymore. And he contacts you. He says, hey, you know what? I'm interested in what you're offering here. Sure, I'll consider referring patients to you. Now what?
The best thing to do is have a press kit ready again and ask the doctor if you can meet with him or her for 5 minutes. Whether it could be informal or formal. And a few of the physicians that I'm working with, they just said, okay, tomorrow come in between this time. And of course, I was there with my press kit, dressed professionally with my polo shirt, and you have 5 minutes to to talk to them. If they contact you, they're already interested. So you don't need to come out as someone who knows the world about health and fitness and exercise. You don't need to do that. They're interested. So the best thing to do within those 5 minutes when you meet with this doctor is to make sure that you're going to take care of their patient. That's really it. And it's going to be teamwork. You
so
tell them...
In essence, they may have some other basic questions and concerns, and you really want to make them just feel warm and fuzzy. Is that what I'm hearing?
Pretty much. Answer them professionally, answer them directly, answer them honestly, just as if a potential client was to ask you questions.
Makes sense. Now, last question here for you, Michael, before we hang up. So, you know, the doctor starts referring clients to you or patients, which are now your clients. What do you do? How do you follow up with that doctor with updates about that client, or what steps do you take to make sure that that doctor or medical professional is still constantly referring patients to you?
As soon as a client comes into my studio or contacts me, and they tell me, Dr. So-and-so referred me to you, Mike, and I make a note of that, obviously. And as soon as that patient invests in sessions with my studio, myself, or my other trainer, I provide a handwritten note thanking the doctor, along with a Starbucks card, gift certificate, $50, $100 sometimes, and I just write him a handwritten note saying thank you, Mrs. Jones. Has just become my client. I will take good care of her, and I will be in touch with you. And I give that note and that letter and that card all in a informal envelope, and I give it to again the staff member at the office, and of course he or she would give it to the doctor. And then after that, every month I provide a brief update on that doctor's client. It could just be a quick note saying, Mrs. Jones is doing really well. She's walking better. His wife is letting me know that she finds her walking better, being able to get up of a chair better. Something like that that gives viable information that the doctor will know that I'm taking care of that patient.
Now, what's important about that?
Well, and that's the main reason for that is that second patient or third patient that he or she's going to refer me. If they know that, it's very similar to going to your favorite restaurant. If you like the food, if you like the atmosphere, you know you're going to be taken care of. Whenever you have your chances of going out to eat, where are you going to go? Your favorite restaurant. And so I look at that as with these doctors. If I make sure that I'm taking care of their patient, the next time that a patient of theirs needs some type of exercise and fitness with some type of help with that, they're going to go to me.
Mike, I'll tell you what. I mean, this is incredible amounts of information you gave, far more than what's in your book. So I'm glad that we have this as a supplement to your book. You know, I thought I took plenty of notes, but is there anything that I missed that you'd like to share with the personal trainers, fitness professionals listening to this interview right now?
Well, there's a couple of things that I really like to talk about a little brief right here. I've really dedicated myself of helping people. I mean, and I know many of you have heard that from other trainers, other mentors, other fitness professionals, but I just don't say it. I do it. I'm very involved in when a parent, one of my clients, says, "Hey, can you donate some money into my daughter's softball team because they got to get T-shirts? Can you be a sponsor?" I'm involved in so many of those. It's not even funny, to be honest with you. But I really do care about my clients, and I really do care about helping them so much, and so. And that will show believe me, when it comes to these medical facilities, medical doctors, health educators, registered dietitians, directors, they will know whether you care not just for the patient but also your job, your career. And I don't consider it a job. I consider personal training as my career. And so I live with it. I'm very motivated, and I'm going to do everything I can to help as many people as I can. And so, and this is just winning these awards and having these certifications and these degrees, those are just steps for me to be able to use as a platform to be able to touch more lives. And all you fitness professionals out there, when you really truly love what you're doing, it will show. That's really it. And if you need help from other fitness professionals, like Bedros with his marketing skills, business skills of some type, don't hesitate to not get help. Always invest in things that you know that will improve you as a fitness professional and also as a person. And with those combinations, I feel like I'm never satisfied in what I've accomplished and who I can help. I always feel like I can get better as a person, as a fitness professional. I can help more people. I can touch more lives. And I live with that every day, and I constantly strive for that. And my motto of my studio is exercise is medicine. And so that's really what my whole fitness philosophy is. That's exactly what it is. Exercise is medicine, and if you really truly believe that, everybody else around you will believe it as well.
Well, Michael,
thank you very much
you.
For this opportunity.
Hey, you're very welcome. Thank you for just taking time out of your busy day to get on the horn with us here and just shed some light on your book. Again, congratulations on your award for Personal Trainer of the Year 2006. I know I and everybody listening to this interview is certainly rooting for you for next year and all future events, man. Thank you so much, Michael, for taking some time today.
Take care. I really appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.